Good morning. It's so great to be with you again on this Sunday morning. We've come to fellowship together, not in the ordinary way or the way we've enjoyed in the past. We've come together through social media. I'm going to read a passage here, and it refers to fellowship, and we are so privileged as shepherds to be able to shepherd you and to be able to be involved in your life. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, and we do. We give thanks to God for you, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And that's our prayer for you. We're so thankful that we can be part of your lives and enjoy fellowship with the Lord and with you. Brian's going to give the message this morning, and so I'm going to lift him up in prayer. So would you bow with me? Father, we thank you again that your word is so true. We thank you that you've called us into the fellowship of your body. And Lord, we're thankful that we can share our lives together with you and with one another. So I just want to pray for Brian as he comes and shares the word, that you would anoint him and that we would have hearts that are open and receptive, where we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Stan. It's good to be here. It's so strange looking out here and seeing these empty chairs, and so my heart longs for the day when we can be back here together. I'm going to speak this morning on fellowship, and that may seem weird to you because what I want to talk about is the type of fellowship when we're really back together, but I just really feel that during this time apart that God can work in our hearts and He can teach us what he desires fellowship to look like. And so I want to start out with a story how long would it be now? 6 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, four to 6 weeks ago, we were in Honduras before everything was shut down and 11 of us went down to work with Youth for Christ. And hopefully when we come back together, I'll get the whole group up in front of the church and we'll be able to share all the stories that we have, the great stories of working with the children. But the story that I want to talk about is on our way down, we were building community with one another. We were sharing in our van ride and on our plane and all of our time together. We were just sharing in each other's lives. But on the way down, we got a message from our group leader in Honduras saying, plans have changed. One of the groups that was going to be coming and you guys are going to be ministering to has canceled, so the weekend is going to be free. So we begin to think, oh great, what is this going to look like? What is God going to do? How's he going to use us? We have this plan. And what it ended up being was a blessed event. We got to spend a day and a half with the team that was there in Honduras. And we got to sit with them for meals. We got to ride around and see some of the sites for a day and a half. We got to pray with them. We got to share in their lives. We got to get to know why they were doing what they were doing. And a lot of times in those situations, you get there, you hit the ground running, and it's all about the kids that are coming in or the specific ministry that you're going to be doing. But God opened the doors for fellowship. And one of the gals, she's actually an American, and she's a missionary down there. She greeted us, and we were just making some small talk, and she looked at me, and she said, you know, this is going to seem weird, and at times it's going to feel like you're not doing anything, but just trust me that this fellowship that you guys are doing is extremely important. And what we ended up doing was encouraging the staff that was there, and then we were encouraged when they got to share with us what it meant for us to be there and what we were able to do for them. And so this morning, I want to take a look at just a couple verses in 1 Thessalonians. It's in chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. And it says, this is the, so I always love in all of Paul's letters, he starts out with a greeting and he gives thanks. And when we really dig into that and we look into that, Paul spent a lot of time. We get a short letter. You know, we get it broke down into chapters, and sometimes it's two pages in our Bible, and that's the letter, and we think, wow, Paul's writing to these people. But Paul spent time with these people. He got to know them. He got to know their names. He worked alongside of them. Stan and I were just talking yesterday about Paul, and Paul was a tent maker. Now, we use that today when we think of missionaries. We think of a tent maker as a missionary who also works on the side. But Paul was an actual tent maker, and some believe that he made leather works, and he did various things like that. Paul actually worked with his hands. And so when I picture Paul writing this letter, I picture him reflecting about the time that he was with the Thessalonians and working alongside them shoulder to shoulder, making a living, and him, you know, speaking about the gospel and training up these people. And I get excited when I think about that. We get so narrow-minded in our view of what ministry has to look like that we leave out the day-to-day stuff. And so Paul is reflecting on his time as he's writing this letter to encourage this people. And he says to them, he's greeting them, and he's making a case for why he's able to say what he's saying. And he said, this is what it was like when we were here with you. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. And so when I reflect on what it should look like here at First Baptist Church, when I reflect on what it should look like when we walk into this building, I pull three things out of this passage, and the first one is care. We should genuinely care for one another. And Paul, you think about this as like a nursing mother, or like in some translations say like a mother taking care of her own children. This shouldn't just be a place where we come and we sit and we get fed. This should be a place where we come, and yes, we get to hear, we get to open God's word together, we get to worship our Creator together. That's exciting. But this is a place where we come and we meet up with other people that we can build into their lives. We can get to know them. We can ask those questions about them. We can get to know what's going on in their life, and we get to care for them, a genuine care for them. And so how do we do that? How do we do that? Because some of us aren't assertive. Some of us aren't outgoing. But we can ask the Lord to help us be assertive. We can approach others. Let's not just come in. Let's not just sit in the back one more, because we're going to, this corona thing will, it's going to go away, okay? Our lives will be different. We don't always know what the future holds, but at some point we are going to be able to meet together. And I hear some people say, I can't wait until things get back to normal. My hope and my prayer is that it's a new normal. It's a new normal for the body of Christ, to where we act like the body of Christ, to where we do what God intends us to do. And when I am saying these things, it's not just to you, it's to me. God put these things on my heart. How do I reach out more? How do I care more? And so ask God to be assertive. And you know, don't compare yourself to others, because you're gonna see people who genuinely care. You're gonna see the Tyrones who want to hug everybody and love on everybody. And that's who Tyrone is. But your care and your concern may look a little bit different. It may not be the big bear hug, but it's still important. It's important to the body of Christ. Because I guarantee you, there are people who don't like a big bear hug. And those are the people that maybe you're going to go to and you're going to speak to. But let's not believe, see, we don't compare yourself to others, because when we compare ourselves to others, then we feel like we're not good enough. And then that's when the enemy begins to speak lies into you. And so don't believe the lies of the enemy. God has given you a purpose. He's given you a special skill set, and we all need to be caring for one another. We all need to be some sort of the Apostle Paul to someone. It doesn't have to be to large groups. It can be to someone. But be intentional, be assertive, and find someone that you can pour into their lives. The second here is to share. Paul says that we didn't only come to share the gospel, which obviously is the most important thing. We need to share the good news, okay? But Paul said, we didn't only share the gospel with you. We shared our lives with you. Now, here in America, we have homes, we have cars, we have, compared to other parts of the world, we have money. I can't tell you countless stories of other cultures, of my friends going to the Middle East and these people living in tents, and my friends get welcomed into these tents, and they get the best of the best. We have much to be thankful for here in America. We have much to offer. But what we really lack in is making time to offer that to other people. We have activities. Our world has been shut down. Sporting events are done. School's done. All the extra stuff that we bring into our life. And now, obviously, God calls for us to be balanced, and we can have those things. But most of the time, we're not balanced. I have to admit it in my own life. And most of the people I talk to admit it in theirs, too. We have to be balanced, we have to make time, and we have to be willing to share our lives with others. Every time I invite someone into my home, I am blessed beyond blessed to be able to do it. It's so exciting to be able to share that. And so share your life. Ask God to just work in your heart that you're willing to share what he has blessed you with. And I promise you, you will be blessed in return. And also, looking at this sharing, when we share in our lives, it's not just bringing people into our homes, but it's that idea, like when I reflect back to what Paul did in being a tent maker, you know, you think about ministry. We oftentimes, when we're sharing our lives, we're saying that okay, I have to finish my daily tasks, and then I'll have time to share my lives with someone else. And then what happens is the daily tasks get done, and then more things get put in the way, and the next thing you know, you lay your head down at night, and you haven't done what you hoped or prayed that would happen, or that God would use you to do. And so we have to rethink about this sharing and what ministry is. Okay, ministry is, we can do ministry throughout the day. And I have this down on my notes. I have it, my job, J-O-B, in bold, dark, capital letters. You see, when we're at work, that can be our opportunity to share our lives with somebody else. And that person may not be a Christian. So you may not be fellowshipping as heirs to the throne of Christ. But you know what? When you begin to open your life and you begin to share your life with that person, then they're able to see a difference in you. And they're able to see Jesus in you. And then continually pray for that conversation to be opened, to talk about Christ and what Christ has done for you. Sharing our lives and ministering to people, that's something we do from the time we get up to the time we go to bed. We don't put it over here and say, I'll do it later when all of my other stuff is done. Because I promise you, your other stuff will never be done. Don't put ministry on hold. Don't put sharing your lives with others on hold. And the third thing is back to that Paul says, not only did we share the gospel, but we shared our lives. But let's go back to Paul shared the gospel with other people. And when we come in here, finding someone to disciple, finding someone to share the word of God with and to teach and to minister to. You know, and I think of our young people in the church. And I think of this element of discipleship. You see, we have this pattern where we feed, and then we don't do so good at teaching people how to feed others. And then there's this we get this, it's kind of this break, and the kids go off to college or they go out into life. And now they're, well, I know all that. And then they're not being fulfilled because they're not also feeding. They're just being fed. We need to learn how to feed. We need to learn how to disciple one another. And that only happens by getting to know someone and opening the Word of God and reading it together and learning together. I have a very dear friend of mine who said to me years ago, when we teach, we learn. There's an accountability that comes with it. It's fantastic. And this was years ago, and I was just taking on the first and second grade Sunday school, and my friend said this to me. And there was an accountability. I'm teaching young people the Word of God. I better know it. I better be in it. And I was blessed thoroughly through it. And so how do we disciple? I mean, we find someone. Ask for God to bring someone to you. If you're not assertive enough to go up and talk to somebody, then ask, and God will answer that. And I always think, I love my dear brother Ted Haynes. And Ted is in his 80s, and he doesn't get around as good as he used to. But he told me this story, and I will never forget it. Ted woke up that morning, and he said, Lord, use me today. And that is one of my prayers. When I get to be in my 80s, hopefully I live to be in my 80s, I want to have that heart to still serve. And Ted said, Lord, use me today. But he said, Lord, I don't have the energy. You're going to have to bring someone to me. And so Ted got on his four-wheeler, and he drove down to his mailbox. And as he was driving by, if you guys have ever been out to Ted's, the houses are kind of stacked right on top of each other along the lake. And there was a new house being built, and there was a man over there. And Ted noticed the man as he was driving by. And on his way back, Ted drove in there and struck up a conversation, and they began to talk about the Lord, and Ted shared the gospel with him, and the Lord answered Ted's prayer. The Lord brought someone to Ted right next door. You know, so pray. Let's use that. There's power in prayer. There is power in the blood of Christ that God will pour out, and he will answer your prayers and pray. And especially when a desire of your heart is to please God. The desire of your heart is to fellowship with someone else in his name. God will give you the desire of your heart. That's the desire that aligns with his will. That's what this book here that we read, it's just a story of how God has, it's a story that he has written about his love for us and how he wants us to pour out his love on others through us. That's fellowship. And so find someone that you can disciple. Let's be doing small groups. If we can make time for sporting events, if we can make time for school activities, if we can make time for TV shows and series, I'm guilty of that at times too. Like I'll sit and watch 3 or 4 episodes of something and I'm like, I just wasted my day or I just wasted my evening when I could have been doing this. We can make time for other things. Let's make time to be in the Word with others. It's exciting. I never, ever have left a Bible study or a prayer group and thought, man, I wish I would have been doing something else. You want to be filled up, then be in God's Word and be encouraged by others. There's, and I'm forgetting the reference, and if I asked Dan, I'm sure he would spew it out, but the reference in Scripture is that we also need to be in fellowship with one another because we're encouraged to confess our sins to one another. You see, we know that our forgiveness comes from Jesus Christ, but when we are meeting together, the Bible encourages us to confess our sins because then there's an accountability. And when we have fellowship, we also have accountability. The enemy is out there trying to attack. The enemy is telling you you're no good. We have temptations. We have desires. But when we have fellowship, we have accountability, and through that, we overcome those things that are not good for us. Accountability is good. I've been a part of accountability groups, and I've been thoroughly blessed by it. And so, just focus on 1 Thessalonians 2:7-8. Read that over a couple of times. The sermon notes are online. And I really want you to just see how Paul how Paul cared. And that's how we're to care. So care like a mother nursing a child. Share your lives. Open up your doors. Open up your life. And disciple. Man, take it to the next level, you guys. Don't just be content with when we're able to come back in here and be like, man, I'm so glad I get to listen to Wade sing in person, and I get to listen to Stan. And you youth that are out there listening to it, man, I finally get to be back in the youth room. I want you guys to be active. We're called to be active. We're called to be in God's word. We are the body of Christ. It's not Stan and Brian and Wade are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And the body is made up of many parts. And so when you guys, when everybody else is just being fed or just sitting there, then we're not, the body isn't whole. So if it's just Stan preaching and I'm not doing my part, or someone else isn't doing their part, then the body isn't whole and the body isn't functioning. And so I am excited for the day that we get to be back here together. I am so excited, man. I love you guys, and I cannot wait. And so let's close in prayer. Let's ask God together to use us. And let's not wait until quarantine is over. We have amazing technology today. There are people out there who need to be encouraged. I was discouraged this last week, and I prayed about my discouragement. I asked God to work in my discouragement. People have called me. People have messaged me. God used me. I messaged other people, and I was encouraged by that. Let's be reaching out to the body right now. Let's be encouraging people, because there are people who really need that fellowship and that's lacking in their lives because we're not able to be together. So let's just lift this up to the Lord right now. Father God, we thank you so much for Paul's letter, for his desire for people. We can really see his heart and how he genuinely cared for others, Lord. May we have that genuine care too. May we be desirous of others as the intimacy that a mother has with her baby, with her children, Lord. May we desire to have that kind of relationship with others. May we be bold and willing to open up our homes and our lives to share with others, Lord. I am so thankful for how you have blessed my life through the lives of others, Lord. And most importantly, Lord God, may we have a boldness to share your gospel. Lord, the truth, the only source of true hope that we have. Lord, there is no hope in man. There is no hope in money. There is no hope in possessions. There's only hope in you. So thank you for buying us back from eternity apart from you. Thank you for setting us upright and for giving us this mission, Lord. May we go out and may we care for others. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this day. Lord, we ask that you would move in this virus, that we can see you alive and active, Lord. You tell us that you are at work among the nations, and we believe you, Lord. And so help us to get a glimmer of that today. Encourage us, strengthen us. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.